Blog Talk Radio.
I'm staying down impatient. As a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh who fears Elohim, or who believes everything into every word spoken. You can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging Yah for mercy and his love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy. Worthy.
Captivity is taking hold upon me. For frightening me and now we flee for falling leaves. The blood and grief from all the blood our people seen. And now we cry, where is the word from Elohim? And so we said that we all is wise to be submissive, but we dismiss it. It is of this reason we have fallen victim to the lies that your root will pray and pursue. Rebellious of the son, forgotten that he is one. Broken the holy ordinance, rejection of reproof. Then the knowledge what we do. Now we return back to the truth.
God's word is the truth. God's decrees is the proof. Local 12 just released the scoop. It's the summer of Sam. They calling us Ham. Made us worship the Son of Man. And somehow that the moon, they stole our style and gave us the Rothschild. Now we exalt the vow, but hit the turnstile. Yah's Nabi set the crooked things straight. Praise Yah from the rising to the evening to the closing the gate. Exposing the fake. Yah give the truth a day break. Now the liars can't escape and the haters can't relate to the light the truth makes. See the wicked's pride deflate. Adore Yah, magnify Yah, cut his grace.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein, is by saying hallelujah.
Yeah.
Of the heaven, the earth, the sea. Again, let me say shalom.
All that is therein, is by saying hallelujah.
To our beautiful brothers and sisters that's joining us on this great and glorious day, this evening, that the Most High has allowed us once again
to bring to you another program of Nothing But the Truth. And it is true that all we're going to tell you and all you're going to get is the truth. Of course, if you're suspicious of anything that we are telling you, give us a call and we can discuss it. 919-931-6216. 919-931-6216. Again, I'd like to give all praise and honor to the Most High for bringing us through another week. We're here on this sixth day as we enter into the evening. Praise the Most High for another glorious week. Of course, I've been coming to you for the last, today is now the fourth day in a row, because we knew that we had to bring you the word of Yah. And there's no reason why the word of Yah cannot be spoken, taught, read, and heard every day. So we're bringing it to you. The last 3 days we've been dealing with the book of Genesis, the first chapter, dealing with the first day and what it means, the second day, as well as the third day. Not what it means according to us, not how we see it, but how the Creator Himself see each and every day, for He is the one that made each and every day. And before the Creator made any and everything, He already had His blueprint ready. And let me show you what the Creator said according to His own wisdom in the book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. According to the book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, I'll start reading at the very first verse. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Well, if this is true, there's a time to every purpose, then all we have to do is know the time, and the time will let us know the purpose. And not only that, everything has a season. And what is a season? A season is a certain time that certain events happen. And what events? Everything. That's why the scriptures say there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. So as we can see, the scriptures let us know there's a time and a season for everything. And there's a time to every purpose under heaven. We brought you to the fact, into the truth, that on day one when the Almighty said, let there be lights, and there was lights. And he saw that that light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. And he called that light day. And the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning one day. We'll let you know exactly what Yahweh said that light was. And what did he bring in? What was he trying to show you and show us? Of course, it is true that the Almighty wanted us to see the fact that in order for you to see him, and in order for you to see anything, you must have light. Especially seeing him. For the light contained things the darkness did not contain. And that was his great laws, commandments, statutes, judgments, as well as a host of other things that we're going to bring to you. For example, in the book of Psalms 138, let me show you this. And the reason I always have to show you things to back up what I'm saying, because the Almighty said, let every matter be established by two or more witnesses. I know there's people who don't believe that. I know people don't believe how Yah will go to establish his own words. They don't believe it. And I'm going to show you what happens when you don't believe in Yah. But in the book of Psalms 138, this is what it says. I'm going to get right to it. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. In other words, before the Elohims, before the angels, will I sing praise unto thee. In the second verse says, I will worship toward thy holy temple. And praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. And watch what this says. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And we know how great Yahweh's name is. But his word is even above that. And when Yahweh said, let there be light, and there was light, what do you think he was bringing in to existence? He was bringing in his word. And how do I know that? For Yah said to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So I know that Yah's word represents light. And that light represents his word. But he said his word is even above his name. Which brings us to day two. How important this day is. For on this day, Yahweh said, let there be a firmament, a mist, in the midst of the waters, and let that mist, that firmament, divide the waters from the waters. And there was waters above the firmament, and there was waters under the firmament. And Yah called the firmament heaven. In the evening and the morning were the second day. Now on this day, Yahweh did something unique because on this day, Yahweh didn't say, I saw that it was good. And in all the other days, Yahweh said, well, I saw what he had done. He said, I saw that it was good. And why didn't he say that on day two? Well, we're going to reveal that to you today. But when Yahweh ushered in the heavens and made it and created it and formed it, what was he bringing into existence? Well, Yahweh was bringing in his great name, his glorious name. Because first he brought in his word. Then second, he had to have you know his name. And we know that to be true just by various things the Almighty let us know, such as in the book of Genesis, the fourth chapter. And watch what this is in Genesis, the fourth chapter. And I'm going to start reading at the 25th and 26th verse. Now, mind you, all over the scriptures, I already showed you these things when we dealt with day two. All I'm doing is reminding you of the various times as well as seasons and purpose behind every time. And it says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son, and called his name Seth. For Elohim, says she, have appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then what? Then began man to call upon the name of Yah. And why during the time of Enos? Well, little do people know that Enos was the second generation after Adam. And these are some of the things that Yahweh would do in the time that he would do it, for the purpose in which it was meant to be done in the time that he did it. And we're going to show you plenty more examples of these truths. Furthermore, we dealt with day three. In dealing with day three, the Almighty made it abundantly clear what he was making. And he said on day three, he said that he called all the waters upon the face of the earth to gather themselves together and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And he called the dry land earth. And the gathering together of the waters he called seas. Furthermore, the Almighty said that let the earth bring forth earth-yielding seed after its kind. Every tree-yielding fruit, which seed is in itself after its kind. And every grass-yielding seed after its kind. And it was so. And the evening and the morning were the third day. So here the Almighty made the earth, the sea, as well as the various herbs, grass as well as fruit trees. But what did it mean? What was its purpose? And we showed you yesterday, all through the scriptures, what the third represents, what three represents, and what blue represents. Yahweh was not going to make the earth without having in his blueprint, without having his mind, his servant, that he will use, his messenger, that he will anoint and raise up to rule the earth. This is why most and all of his messengers, prophets, even priests, all had some sign of three, such as Moses. Moses was hidden for 3 months, just like Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights. Just like Abraham, who took his son on the third day to sacrifice him. And why the third day? Well, what do you think a messenger is? And one of his greatest messengers, you'll read about him in the book of Exodus, and we're going to read that. Exodus, the 19th chapter. In the book of Exodus 19, this is what it says in the very first verse. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. And as you can see, what month it is, the third month. So whether it's the third day, the third month, the third year, the third born, it all will represent the same thing. And all these times represent what Yahweh would do on the third day in the earth. And we see that it was a third month, but let us go down and look what Yah has to say in the 10th verse. And Yahweh said unto Moshe, go unto the people, sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day Yahweh will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And why? What purpose did the third day have for Yahweh to choose to come down that day to sanctify, to separate, and to make his people a peculiar treasure unto himself above all the people on the face of the earth? Why would he do that on the third day? Because his people, which is Israel, is his messenger, his anointed nation, that only and exclusively he gave his word to. Never showed it to anybody else. Never gave it to any other nation. This is what the third represents. And just one more scripture on the third. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 26th chapter, just want you to see this. Because today we're going to speak about the fourth and how great it is and its purpose. Since we know the time is the fourth. And as I stated before, whether it's the fourth day, the fourth year, the first, fourth month, the fourth born, It don't matter. It all represents the same thing. And if you see, look at Deuteronomy 26, this is what it says in the 12th verse. When thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithes of thy increase, the third year. And why the third year? Which is the year of tithing. And why is that called the year of tithing? The third year. I thought we tithe every year. Well, we did. But the third year is the year of tithing. And why? Because when did you think the Almighty made the herbs, the trees, the grass? Well, he did that on the third day. So whether it's the third year, the third day, the third born, the third time, Yahweh has set his time for his purpose. And this is what I continually is sharing with you. Because once you begin to learn time, then you will learn purpose. And once you know purpose, then you can finally circumcise your heart, your mind, to serve Yah with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. And then you can finally see how you have been deceived, you have been tricked, you have been bamboozled, and people, robbers, have tried to steal you from Yah. For Yah said, you are his sheep. You are the flock of his pasture. And we have robbers all around us trying to take us, steal us, and rob us from the Most High. And yes, I'm one of Yah's shepherds that was ordained to bring you back. So we're going to talk about day four. So let us again start at the beginning, where it all began, in the book of Genesis. Let us turn there. Genesis, the first chapter. In the book of Genesis, the fourth chapter, of course, there's a lot of controversy with the fourth day. And we won't get into all the controversy, but you're going to know the truth. Everybody going to know the truth. And watch what this says in the book of Genesis, the first chapter, the 14th verse.
And Elohim said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years.
So here the Almighty, in the midst of the week, in the middle of the week, said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the face of the earth, and let them divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And everything about this, you're going to have to learn, because undoubtedly you hadn't been taught what these things are. For our people, the only light our people are interested in learning about and knowing about, and the only reason why is because of their enemies, is the moon. But I'm going to show you how that is far from the truth. They can't tell you about no other light. And if you try to mention any other light to them, they're going to get mad at you. Well, we don't care about your anger. We're going to tell you the truth, whether you adhere or whether you forbear. And what else do it say?
And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And Elohim made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also.
Yeah, he made two great lights. He didn't make one great light for the light source for everything else. No, these was two different lights altogether. And they were called two different things. Matter of fact, they were two great lights, but he said he made the stars also, which also is a light. Continue reading.
And Elohim set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And Elohim saw that it was good.
And Elohim saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So, as I told you before, the only day the Creator didn't say he saw that it was good. All the other days he said that. But there was one day he didn't say that. And that was the second day when he made the heavens. And the reason why he did not say he saw that it was good is only because he wanted to finish making the heavens. He didn't finish and complete the heavens until he put the luminaries in the firmament of heaven. And then once he did that, then he said he saw that it was good. Because according to the scriptures, the word good means it's complete. It's finished. It's done. That's what it means. Why you think Yahweh said it's not good for man to dwell alone? I will make him a helpmate. Wasn't good for man to dwell alone because he wasn't finished. He hadn't even gave man his counterpart yet. And until he gave man his counterpart, then it was good. But as long as man dwelt alone, Yahweh said it's not good. It's not good for man to be alone, to dwell alone. And if most men are honest, they'll tell you that is the truth. But now that Yahweh completed the heavens, as he put his luminaries there, what was his purpose? As I stated before, as the scriptures profoundly proves that every time there is a purpose. And if you know the time, you will know the purpose. And if you know the purpose, you already gonna know what time it is. Furthermore, he said to everything, there is a season. What thing don't have a season? Well, there's nothing without a season. Because everything has a season. Even if you don't know the season, it got one. Because Yahweh know it. So what is its purpose? Well, let me show you. Just like I showed you all the other days. Because all these things is going to prove one important truth. Yahweh said, in the last days, he will magnify the law and make it honorable. And our people need to see Yahweh's laws clearly. Because if they do, they have a better chance, a greater opportunity honoring his great honorable laws. So he's going to illuminate it so you won't have no excuse at all. And why will he illuminate them? For Yahweh said he is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. Because this is his righteousness. So he's going to magnify this law and make it honorable. And so the things that we bring to you is only because of the law. Watch what Yahweh says concerning the fourth. Since he put the luminaries out there, He wants you to understand what they mean. In the book of Genesis 29, where we started each and every day, turn there. In the book of Genesis 29, our great foremother, foreparent, Leah. Let's see further her wisdom as well as her relationship with the Most High. And start at the 31st verse so people can understand what we're about to show them.
And when Yahweh saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely Yahweh had looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me.
Yeah, because Yahweh saw that she was hated. And Yahweh looked upon her affliction. So she called his name Reuben because she seen that Yahweh seen her. And she let Yahweh know when she named her son that Yahweh, I seen what you did for me. And the question is, do you see Yah? Because he see you. And if you see him, then why aren't you doing the things that he will have you to do? Then she had another son. Continue reading.
Verse 33. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, because Yahweh hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Shimeon.
Yeah, Shimeon, from the Hebrew word Shemal, which means to hear. And all through the scriptures, Yahweh said, Shemal. In other words, Simeon. Shema Yisrael, Yah Eloheinu, Yah Echad. Here, O Israel, Yah Eloheinu, Yahweh is one. And I know many Israelites get mad at us saying that, and many other religions get mad at us saying that because they don't want to accept the fact that Yahweh is one. They want to make Yahweh three, two, other things, other people. But no, Yahweh is one. Not only he wanted you to see that, but he also wanted you to hear that because Leah heard it and because she knew Yahweh heard her, that he heard that she was a hater. So she wanted to let Yahweh know, I hear you. So she named him Simeon. And then she had another son.
Verse 34. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi.
Levi. And what do Levi mean? What do Levi represent? Who joined anything and anyone to Yah? Isn't it his messenger, his priest? The one that he anointed to come near unto him? Yes, that's Levi. And Leah seen it. She said, now my husband will be joining to me. Because that's what this birth represents, this third birth. So Yahweh had to have a messenger in the earth to join his inhabitants that he had created to him. And who is that messenger? That messenger is Israel. But she had more children, more sons. And watch the fourth one. Since we're dealing with the fourth day, and I may add, today, not the Hebrew calendar, but today is the fourth. And watch what this says.
And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise Yahweh.
Now will I praise Yah.
Therefore, she called his name Yehuda and left Baron.
Yeah, she called his name Yehuda. What do you think Yehuda means? Well, it means praise. It don't mean praise because Yehuda just mean praise. It means praise because Yehuda was born forth. Because forth means praise. So it don't come from Yehuda. It comes from the fact to every time there is a purpose. And if you know the time, you're going to know the purpose. And so Yehuda was born forth, which represents Yahweh's praise. Leah know that. But do you know that? And let me show you that I'm telling you the truth. Go to the book of Genesis 49 so you can see that everything I'm bringing to you is the truth. In the book of Genesis 49, and watch what it says in the 8th verse.
Yehuda, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise.
Yeah, why are you going to praise? Why your brother going to praise you? What is so special about you that they will praise you? Well, you was born at the right time. Yehuda, thou art he whom thy brother shall praise. And watch what he should do.
Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee.
Yeah, because even before he was born, and at the time that he was born, he was already born a king and didn't even know it. Didn't even know it. Didn't even know his brothers was going to bow down to him. And didn't know that his hand shall be in the neck of his enemies. And I can assure you, his hand will be in the neck of his enemies in the near future.
Yehuda.
But to show you further evidence that I'm telling you the truth, in the book of Leviticus, the 19th chapter, turn there, Leviticus 19. And Leviticus is the book of the law. And watch what this says. As I stated before, it don't matter if you're the fourth born. It don't matter if it's the fourth month, the fourth year, the fourth day. It don't matter. The fourth represents what it represents. And this time has the same purpose, no matter what. In the book of Leviticus, the 19th chapter, I want you to read starting at the 23rd verse.
And when ye shall come into the land and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then ye shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. 3 years it shall be uncircumcised unto you. It shall not be eaten of.
It shouldn't be eaten for 3 years. It's going to be uncircumcised. A lot of people tell you, well, it's uncircumcised because Yahweh know the fruit is not mature until 3 years later. No, Yahweh know that the fruit in the herbs wasn't even made until the third day. So he didn't even want to honor this fruit before his time. But watch what happens next.
But in the fourth year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy.
It shall be holy.
To praise Yahweh with all.
In other words, now, even though you can't eat it for 3 years, even in the fourth year, you still can't eat it because it don't belong to you anyway. And why? Because now it's meant to praise Yah with all. How are you going to eat before Yah? Why do you think Yahweh all through the scriptures say give me the first fruits. But instead, our people want to take the first fruits to themselves, even though Yahweh is the one that made it. And no, you won't give him no first fruits. You're going to take the first fruits to yourself. You're going to eat it. You're going to enjoy it. And you're going to give him the last. And it's just like your checks. In other words, you give Yahweh what's left over. And then if you don't have enough left over, then you say, oh, well, Yah, I don't got it. Well, who you think gave you the check? Who do you think gave you the check to buy all the foolishness that you're buying now, but you won't give Yahweh nothing because you say you ain't in a land that Yahweh gave our people when Yahweh created all lands? Who do you think made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is? It was Yahweh. And not just in the fourth year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy to praise Yah with all, because the fourth means praise. Well, it don't only and exclusively mean praise, but this is what it means. And let me show you. What I'm telling you is the truth. Go to Psalms 113. And this scripture will confuse a lot of people. And you only confuse us because your enemies had confused you from the very time you came into this land. And from the very time our people was taken out of their land. In the book of Psalms 113, I want you to start reading at the very first verse. And I want you to read this slowly, loudly, and carefully so the people can understand what we're telling them is the truth.
Praise ye Yahweh. Praise, O ye servants of Yah.
Well, this is all about praising Yahweh. It's about praise, O ye servants of Yahweh. And then it's about praise the name of Yahweh.
Blessed be the name of Yahweh from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, Yahweh's name is to be praised.
Is that an error? Is that a mistake? Is that a misprint that Yahweh said from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, Yah's name is to be praised? Most people tell you that everything started in the evening. Well, if it started in the evening, then why didn't Yahweh say praise him from the evening to evening? Why did Yahweh wait a whole half a night to get his praise when he made everything? Well, Yahweh knows something we know, and we know something Yahweh knows. Now, how can you praise Yahweh in your sleep? Because that's what happened at night. How can you praise Yahweh when you're dead? The dead don't praise Yahweh. And if the dead don't praise Yahweh, how can you praise Yahweh while you sleep? You got to do things to praise Yahweh. And asleep don't praise Yahweh. So Yahweh said, from the rising of the sun, when you're supposed to get up, and to the going down of the same, Yah's name is to be praised. And why? What do you think Yahweh did on the fourth day? Isn't that the day he made the sun, the moon, as well as the stars? No wonder he said from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same. Our people go out at night and looking for the moon, trying to praise it. That's not what Yahweh said. He said from the rising of the sun and to the going down of the same. Now, that's not my word. That's Yahweh's word. And if you did what Yahweh said, you would look like a different type of people altogether. Now, I'm telling you the truth. Well, I know you don't believe it yet. And I know you still have reservations. Because you've never been told this, and you've never been taught this, and you never heard this from other people and other teachers. I already know that. Well, let me show you some more to show you what I'm telling you is the truth. In the book of 1 Kings, the 6th chapter, and what are we discussing? What are we talking about? Well, we're talking about the fourth day and its purpose. We know the time. Now we're learning the purpose. And you're going to see why these things are so relevant to you. In the book of 1 Kings, the 6th chapter, starting at the first verse.
And it came to pass in the 480th year, after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign.
Now, this is the fourth year of Solomon's reign, and this is 480 years after they came out of Egypt. And I may add, this just further proof that our people kept great records, and our people kept great accounting of many things. You can't go to these history books and rely on them to tell you the truth. You got to go to the scriptures if you want to know time and season. And not only time and season, if you want to know time, season, and purpose. And watch what happened after the 480 years after the children of Israel come out of the land of Egypt. What do it say?
In the month Zif.
No, in the fourth year of Solomon reigned over Israel, in the month Ziph, which is the second month that he began to build the house
of Yahweh.
Of Yahweh. Why in his fourth year? We told you why in the second month. Because the second represents his name. But what do the fourth represent? Well, the fourth represents his praise. Why do you think the Almighty said on the fourth commandment that we're not to do no manner of work? And why do you think he said about the fourth commandment, 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yah thy Elohim, thou shalt not do no work at all, and thou shalt have a holy convocation. What do you think we do on a Sabbath day? We go to praise Yahweh. And what commandment is that? That's the fourth commandment. And you'll read about it in the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter. As a matter of fact, the Almighty said the temple doors is only going to be open 2 times. It says in the new month, as well as the Sabbath. And why? Because there is where we go to worship and praise the Most High. And furthermore, to let you know I'm telling you the truth, go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 22nd chapter. And what are we dealing with today? We're dealing with the fourth. And we've seen in the fourth year, our fruit was just brought to praise Yah, not to be eaten, not to be taken back, but to praise Him. We've seen that the fourth tribe was to be praised. we've seen that the fourth born meant praise. And we see that the temple that we go and praise the Most High in, where they had garments of praise, was done and built in the fourth year. And now we're in Deuteronomy 22. And this is what it says in Deuteronomy 22 in the 12th verse. And what do it say?
Thou shalt make the fringes upon the four quarters of thy vesture.
Yeah, it says you should make the fringes upon the four quarters of thy vesture, wherewith thou coverest thyself. Why? What purpose do this have? Well, all you got to do is know the time. What is the time? It's the fourth. Well, we know what the fourth means. It means praises. Why you think he wants you adorned with fringes all on yourself? Like no other nation at all. These nations don't run around and walk around with adorned in fringes on the four quarters of their vestures with a ribbon of blue. Only Israel. And why? Because this is our praise to Yah. Now that you can see some of these things, what the fourth represents, now let me show you real time. Show you something that most people don't know and they can't show you because they don't know. For instance, in the book of Daniel. First, let me show you this in Daniel, the third chapter. Daniel 3. Again, what are we discussing? We're discussing Yahweh's time as well as his purpose for each day. And we're at the fourth day. And we can see crystal clearly that the fourth represents his praise. It represents praise. Why you think we had to bring the fruit in the fourth year to praise with all? Why you think the firstborn of Leah, whose name was Yehuda, meant praise Yah? Why do you think the fourth, all the brethren of the children of Israel, all of them, will bow and kneel and praise Yehuda? Because he was the fourth born. And I'll show you the fourth generation of Adam actually means, and his name is Mahalaleel, which means praise Elohim. And we'll see that in the book of Genesis, the fifth chapter. But right now we're in Daniel, the third chapter. And I just want you to see this. In Daniel, the third chapter, I want you to read the 25th verse. We'll start at the 24th verse.
Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the son of Elohim.
Yeah, they didn't have no hurt. He seen four. He only cast three in there, but then when he looked, he seen four. And the fourth looked like the son of Elohim. Because not only Yahweh has sons on the earth, he got sons in heaven. You'll read about these sons in the book of Job, the first chapter. For there was a day when the sons of Elohim came to appear before him. And not only did our heavenly sons come to appear before him at various appointed times, but we as his sons also are commanded that we are to come before him 3 times a year. And why 3? Because we are his messengers on earth. So he said, y'all come before me 3 times a year. And we'll read that in the book of Deuteronomy 16 chapter. But why was forcing here? Well, all you got to do is remember what 4 represents. It represents praise. And this is why you see these things. And let me show you when Yahweh going to get his greatest praise. The book of Daniel, the 7th chapter. Let us turn there. In the book of Daniel, the 7th chapter, we're going to start reading at the 23rd verse.
Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces.
See how fierce this fourth beast is. And I may add, if you don't know what time we in today, well, let me tell you, we are indeed under this fourth beast. And watch what it says.
And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings.
And so under this fourth beast, 10 kings going to rise. And then out of those 10 kings under this fourth beast, another king shall arise after them. But this king, he shall be diverse, different from the first. And he shall subdue, which means to conquer, the other 3. 25th verse.
And he shall speak great words against the Most High.
In other words, he's going to subdue them, and he's going to speak great words against the Most High.
And shall wear out the saints of the Most High.
And he's going to wear the saints of the Most High out.
And think to change times and laws.
And of course, he's going to think to change times and laws. And as we know, times and laws are changed. What you think we're dealing with today? We're dealing with time. We're dealing with law. We're dealing with purpose. And he's going to think to change times and laws.
And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time.
Yeah, we're going to reveal what these things are. But it's going to be given into his hand for a certain amount of time. But then after that, 26th verse.
But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him.
See, and that's why I told you, since the beginning of time, we were already ordained, blueprinted, and designed to rule the earth. This was our purpose in which we were made. But all this is going to happen under the fourth beast. And what do the fourth represent? Well, it represents Yahweh's praise. So you know whatever happens, whenever it happens, it has to deal with the fourth year, which our people don't know the years today, or maybe the fourth day. And our people don't recognize really none of the days for real. Or maybe the fourth month. Or maybe the fourth born. But make no mistake about it. It will happen with the fourth. For we are under the fourth beast. And I may add, to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that it will indeed happen under the fourth. Go to the book of Zechariah. Just want you to see this. Zechariah, the 12th chapter. Show you prophecy now, since we're talking about the fourth beast. In the book of Zechariah, the 12th chapter, starting at the very first verse.
The burden of the word of Yahweh for Israel, saith Yahweh, which stretches forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about. When they shall be in the siege, both against Yehuda and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. In that day, saith Yah, I will smite every horse with astonishment, and his rider with madness. And I will open mine eyes upon the house of Yehuda, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Yehuda shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength, in Yahweh of hosts their Elohim. In that day will I make the governors of Yehuda like a hearth of fire among wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf, and they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem.
In other words, Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, because right now Jerusalem is surrounded by a bunch of imposters and mingled people. And watch what it says.
Yahweh also shall save the tents of Yehuda first.
Yeah, in other words, wherever Yehuda is, Yahweh shall save the tents of Yehuda first. And why? Why would he save the tents of Yehuda first? Well, because that's his praise. What you think Yehuda was born forth for? That is his praise. They were made to be his praise, designed for his praise. And watch what it says.
That the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Yehuda.
Yes, because Yahweh is not about to have that. A verse.
In that day shall Yah defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as Elohim, as the angel of Yah before them.
So this is what Yahweh planned on doing with the tribe that represents his praise. Because that's what the fourth represents. And when do you think he going to get his praise? He's going to get it when he saved Yehuda. He's going to get it when he brings this fourth beast down. And not only that, just to show you that I'm telling you the truth, since we in Zechariah, go a book up to Zephaniah. Zephaniah, the third chapter. For Yahweh indeed will get his praise. But when? Well, he's going to get it at the time that his praise was designed for. And when was his praise designed for? Did not he say the fourth? In the book of Zephaniah, the third chapter, let's start reading at the 17th verse. 3 and 17.
Yahweh thy Elohim in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame.
In other words, we're going to get praise and fame in every place that we were put to shame. Well, when do you think that's going to happen? Everything else happened at the fourth. So when do you think we're going to get praise and fame in every land that we were put to shame? Well, there's no question in my mind when this is. But when is it for you? Do you know what time that we're in today? These are the things that we're bringing to you now. And it's a lot, lot more. Furthermore, so you'll know that I'm telling you the truth. But read that 20th verse. I don't want to skip nothing.
And that time.
At that time.
Will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you.
And when is that? Did not he say he will gather us? In the book of Genesis, the 49th chapter, the 8th verse, he said, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the people be gathered to. And who was that? One that will have the scepter of Yehuda. And at that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you.
I will make you a name.
A name?
Praise.
I will make you a name and a what?
Praise.
Praise.
Among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith Yahweh.
And when will this take place? When will your name be restored? And we know when Yahweh deal with his name, what year, what month, even what day. And we know when Yahweh deals with his praise, what year, what month, even what day. And we're going to be bringing to you certain things that I can assure you, you didn't know. But once we bring it to you, you're going to understand why this scripture is so vitally important. But I know you still don't believe me. But that's okay, because I got more scriptures for you. In the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter, turn there. Before we turn to Isaiah 11, go to the book of Jeremiah 33 first. Jeremiah 33. And what are we dealing with? What are we talking about? What are we trying to bring to you today? Well, about Yahweh's fourth. This is the day where Yahweh made the lights, the luminaries. And he said, let these lights be for signs, seasons, days, and years. And since he made these lights for signs, seasons, days, and years, Yahweh said, from the rising of the sun into the going down of the same, Yah's name is to be praised. And why? In honor to what he did on the fourth day. So why do you think, since he wanted to be honored in the fourth, why do you think the fourth commandment is about the Sabbath day? Because that is the day that we praise Yah, the Sabbath. And we're going to get to the Sabbath. And this is why the fourthborn son of Leah was named Yehuda. Because after she went through Reuven, and he saw affliction, and after she went through Simeon, and he heard that she was hated, and after she went through Levi, and said, well, now my husband will be joined to me. After all that, she said, now, finally, I can praise Yah. So she named him Yehuda. And in the book of Jeremiah 33, at verse 9, what do it say?
And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it.
Now, who is he talking about? What is he talking about? Well, let me show you. I just wanted to teach you, but go back to verse 4, and then they'll see exactly why the name and the praise and the great honor will be given to a particular people. And watch what it says, fourth verse.
For thus saith Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, and concerning the houses of the kings of Yehuda, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with the dead bodies of men whom I have slain in my anger and in my fury, and for all whose wickedness I have hid my face from this city. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth.
And that has not happened yet, but it's going to happen. Go ahead.
And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first.
And he's going to build us as at the first.
And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity.
All their iniquity.
Whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy.
A name of joy.
A praise.
A praise.
And an honor.
And an honor.
Before all the nations of the earth.
Before all the nations of the earth.
Which shall hear all the good that I do unto them.
And they shall fear and tremble for all
the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it.
And this is what Yahweh said he was going to do. But what you have to ask yourself, when? When will Yahweh do this? Since now we know the purpose, do you know the time? In the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter, this is what it says. Starting at the 10th verse.
And in that day there shall be a root out of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious.
Yeah, an ensign of Jesse, not of David. This is coming out of Jesse. Go ahead.
And it shall come to pass in that day that Yah shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and they shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Yehuda from the four corners of the earth.
And you see, Yehuda is going to be gathered from the four corners of the earth. Didn't I tell you what the fourth represents? Didn't I show you what Yehuda represents? And now is the time becoming clear to you? Well, keep reading.
The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Yehuda shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Yehuda. Yehuda shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west, and they shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them.
And that's why the Creator said Yehuda is a lion's whelp, and his hand shall be in the neck of his enemies. But continue reading.
And Yahweh shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt.
Yeah, so the Almighty talking about redeeming his people, in particular Yehuda, from the four corners of the earth. When would that be? What do the fourth represent? What do the fourth mean? What is the fourth? And watch this. The 12th chapter, continue reading.
And in that day thou shalt say, O Yahweh, I will praise thee.
Yeah, why? Why in that day thou shalt say, O Yahweh, I will praise thee? What day do we say to Yahweh, we will praise thee? What day and what birth and what time did Leah say it? And Israel say it? Well, it's going to be the same time we will say it. Continue reading.
Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, Elohim is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yahweh is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say,
praise Yahweh.
Call upon his name, declare his doings among the people,
and make mention that his name is exalted.
Sing unto Yahweh, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee.
And the only thing that is left to say is praise Yah and hallelujah. For Yah is righteous, Yah is holy, and let Yahweh be magnified. Until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, so do I. Shalom.